talked to Brother Philemon. Brother Philemon, when Dan took us up to verse 15 last time. So we'll begin Philemon, we'll read 16, 17, and 18. Philemon, starting with 16. Let's read that one together. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. That thou count me therefore a partner, receive them as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or owed thee up, put that on mine account. Alright, just for every review, as Dan reviewed all the truth, who wrote this letter?
Paul.
Paul, and wrote it to what man?
Cleveland.
And who else Cleveland?
He was a money man.
Money man, had a lot of money. And who did he
land?
Have a lot of property, land and servants. And who is this about? What person?
Onesimus.
And who is Onesimus?
Runaway
slave. And who is his boss?
Philemon.
Did he come to Christ as Savior?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Was Philemon saved or lost?
He saved.
Okay, who led him to Christ, probably?
Paul.
Oh, it's Paul. Alright, so that's the background. And then in verse 15, he says, perhaps he departed for a season. What does that mean? What was Onesimus to start with? Where'd he end up? What was Paul, by the way, when he wrote this?
Rome.
In Rome, prison, Rome, alright. Took the second Roman prisoner.
Church.
First Roman prison. What books did he write in addition to Philemon in the first Roman prison? Philippians are one.
Ephesians
are one.
Philippians,
Colossians, Philippians. Those are the four books. And so he wrote there as a prisoner, and he left. Now, have we gotten to the place yet where he came back? Yes, in verse 15, the Dan covered that last time. He departed first. He departed from where? Philemon's house. Where it was? Well, how did he depart? Did he go with the Philemon's permission?
He ran away.
Did he take anything with him?
What do they think he stole something?
Probably stole something. But it says for a season. Why does it say for a season in verse 15? Departed for a season. What's going to happen to Philemon?
Well, I think when Paul and he got there somehow they met, and Paul was punished, and now they're sending him back to Christ. Okay, so that's for a little while. So come back again. Now, normally when slaves leave their master, is it usual for them to go back to the master again? No. Now, why is it not usual to go on their own back to the master?
If they get killed and they don't have slavery, I mean, that's how they escape.
They get punished anyway.
Get punished in some way and so on. But this is a little different situation as the Caesar come back. So, verse 15, I noticed in verse 14, Dan pointed out last time, without thy mind would I do nothing. What does that mean? Without thy mind would I do nothing. Okay?
Well, without his mind. Philemon was still, as in those days, he was Onesimus with Homer.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul had given him the gospel and got saved, and he was ministering there, helping Paul in Rome. Mm-hmm. And Paul would have liked to have kept him, I think that's what he implied.
Mm-hmm.
But he's writing to Philemon and said, Philemon, Onesimus is yours.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not do anything like trying to keep him without your permission.
Without your permission. The benefits are the necessity but willingly. Are there anything else in Scripture that's to be done willingly? Is there anything else in Scripture? Is it? Giving. Yeah, not a necessity, but I'm not a cheerful giver.
A living sacrifice.
This living sacrifice, willingly give yourself a living sacrifice to the Lord. And what about the Old Testament offerings for the tabernacle? Was that willing or forced?
Willing.
Every man with a willing heart gave. Did they tell them to quit giving after a while?
Yes,
they did. There was enough. Now, do some preachers and some TV evangelists ever tell people to stop giving?
No.
Even though there may be enough, see, they still keep giving, you know, so
they'll buy an extra yard.
We gave out, you know, a couple weeks ago, the various millions and millions and millions of dollars in homes that these evangelists had. So that's something that willingly, when they're so So in verse 16 now, since 15 says that he received for a procedure, the doctor received him forever. But now the contrast, not now as a servant. What does that mean in verse 16? That's where we begin today. Not as a servant now.
Well,
what do
you
want to
receive as a fellow Christian?
Fellow Christian. There's a difference between a fellow Christian and a servant. Fellow Christian and a servant.
Another
day,
Christian
person. Oh, okay. All right. So can fellow Christians also be servants?
Yes.
Yes, but it's not that you're not going to look at him as a servant, just a born their servant or slave, but as a brother servant. Does this brother beloved me? In verse 16. But as a brother beloved. A brother servant, a brother beloved. What does that mean?
One of the saints that he loves.
One of the saints? That he loves, Jesus Christ loves, and he loves one of these. Now, beloved, now there's two areas, especially to me, and how much more to thee. What does he mean by that? Brother loved to me and to thee. What are the two men that are gained or not gained by Philemon, or by Onesimus, right? In what sense was the Onesimus a brother to Paul? Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. We don't have the phone yet. Has that for healing when it comes to, I guess, we will have that. So, have to give us a call, 856-261-9018. Okay, that's good. Hello, Julie from Erie, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Pastor. Just wanted to call and say hello to everyone. Welcome to Diane. Thank you for the good message this morning and sharing the Bible study.
Very good. Thank you, Julie. Appreciate that. Let's just give away from Erie, Pennsylvania. Clear out there. Can you see us through there? I hope you can see us. Way back. All right. We can't see you. Wait a minute. Oh, there it is. Okay. Just joking. So, what was going to be, as far as Paul is concerned, much more to me, especially to me, brother beloved to me. Why does he call brother beloved to me? Says the answer is in questions at bfbbc.org, 856-261-9018. Why was Paul considered in this thing as far as beloved, brother.
Is he
going to
help Paul?
Probably going to help Paul, I think, so he could be handy there, helping, assisting there, okay? Let's see him as well. Hello, yes, Anne Marie North from Canada.
Hello, Pastor Wade. We're thanking God that we can join you here via the internet all the way from Canada, and really appreciated this morning's service and the Bible study, and thank you for preaching God's Word, and keeping each one of you in prayer that God may supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. So God bless you.
Okay, thank you.
Betty and I.
Henry and Betty Morgan. Thank you for calling. Let's wait for Betty Morgan and Henry Nora up there in Canada, wherever Canada. Thank you for that call.
856-261-9018.
You have to stand up.
United States.
Oh, questions at bftbc.org. Dan is not here, so now you can give emails if you wish to. So he's going to help Paul because he's led him to Christ. Now, much more to thee. How much more does thee and the Philemon, both in the flesh and in the Lord? What does that mean?
Well,
he
was a servant.
Did
you
say what?
Sick?
Oh, well, he was a servant, but then he was also the brother in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the fact that he had forgiven him, I just think that there was a bond there,
mm-hmm.
what he was with.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Actually, I did have a comment. Paul was talking about being a servant,
mm-hmm.
and also a brother. Now, Paul in Romans 6:22, he says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit under holiness and everlasting life." Now, we're servants to God, but at the same time, we're heirs and joint heirs of Christ, mm-hmm. so we're His brothers as well.
Well, that there's a relationship, as he said, both to thee, both in the flesh, that is, as a servant and serving the Lord. And Philemon may have had a Bible study in his home, but if that's the case, then that's to come and help with that, but also in the Lord. Flesh and in the Lord work for both. So, this is verse 16, as a servant above a servant. Then in verse 17, if Why do you suppose he starts that verse with an if? Is that a sure word or is that a doubtful word?
It's sure.
It's sure?
He's putting himself, he's interceding.
Questionable? What do we usually use it for?
I'm not sure.
Well, give me an example of using it.
If you trust me, loan me $10.
Yes, yes. Is that a sure? Is that a sure if you do trust the person if you say yes?
In a sense. No, it's not really. It's a question, a rhetorical.
Okay. Yeah. So it goes that with the if. This is an if. So he starts that with an if because there's a doubt. Now, if thou count me therefore a partner, what is a partner?
His partner in the Lord's work.
Uh-huh.
I mean, here at Philemon had his church in his house, and Paul had his taking the gospel all over the world, and so they were partners.
See, is a partner higher or lower than a servant?
Higher.
Partner usually on equal partner for Paul. In this, what does Paul consider himself to be regarding Philemon? What does he consider himself to be a partner, see? So they're family a partner. So he's saying, if I'm a partner with you, we have equal footing. There's Philemon saved?
Yes.
Who went into Christ, probably?
Yes.
He saw himself, all right? He's the son of the faith. So if you count me as a partner, if I'm equal with you, what is the command in verse 17?
Receiving
as myself.
Like him.
Just like receiving. So if Paul's a partner, what does that make an estimate?
A partner.
If you receive as Paul, he's your partner also. So that would be an equal footing. Not as a servant or slave anymore, but as a partner. That's interesting. He's come a long way, has he, through Christ. He's elevated himself to an aspect from a servant or slave, a runaway and a thief, up to a partner with the master. That's an amazing, strong, uphill climb, rather than without the climb, just a wonderful, gracious thing. Questions would be at TBC, 856-261-9018, give us a call or give us an email if you wish. Then in verse number 19, then we read that, say 16, we're going to have to read that again. We had 16, 17, 18, now let's read 19, 20, and 21 together. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand, I will repay it. Did we read 18?
No.
Oh, my.
You read it.
Oh, yes, we didn't talk about it. Oh, my. That's just, well, 18 is very important. Here's another one. What was the number? We'll get this in number 11. Hello? Hello?
Hey, Pastor Wade.
Yes.
It's Sam. I'm just calling in to say hello.
Sam, thank you for calling. Sam from New Jersey.
Yes, sir. I'm just watching along with all you guys. Just want to say hello and God bless everyone.
Hi, Sam.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
That's Wade and Sam away. You missed it. Hope to see you next week.
How's the grandmother doing?
Is the grandmother doing all right?
Yes, she's visiting with the relatives now, and I believe he's preaching the gospel to her.
Well, that's good. That's good. Hope to see you next week. All right.
Okay, thank you, brother.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
We heard the sign, haven't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, okay. Now, in verse 18, there's another if. What did we say? Is it an assurance word or a questionable and doubtful word?
Questionable.
And you say yes.
You're not certain.
Now, when the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What do you mean by that? Is that a doubtful thing?
Well, he's questioning them to see if they love him.
All right. And if that's the case, if that's the real thing,
it's not questionable. Our part, it's questionable.
All right.
Is it possible to question certainty? I mean, is questioning certainty, for, like in a rhetorical way, to bring a person to a point of agreement?
Now, sometimes the word is translated and means a sense.
Yes.
Sensitivity.
Yeah.
We be dead with Christ, we shall always also rise with Christ. So it's an assurance. But quite often, the answer is a questionable, it's an assumption, it's not true.
Or remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to King Nebuchadnezzar? But it's not.
It's not.
Okay.
No,
that was a certainty.
Yes.
Kind of.
They were certain.
They were, we're not going to bow down. They're trying to deliver us from that time. That's good.
Yeah.
The reason that's there. That's true in Sam. If the economy is a partner for 17, but if he had wronged you, did you think he did wrong for him? Do you think a nationalist wrong for him? What's your thought on that? Do you think he did or do you think that he didn't?
He did. Oh, he did.
Because he did. Probably wrong him in some way. So he said he did wrong me. See, Paul is not saying, since you wrong me, but if he did wrong me, what else do I do? Or do what else? Or what else?
Oh,
what they are. What does that mean? Oh, what they are. Mm-hmm. What does that imply?
He stole anything.
Maybe stole something.
Or owes him time.
Owes him some time, or owes him something of that nature. What was the solution to that? If he was a thief? Well, let's put that on my account. What is an account?
Credit.
Charge account? Credit? Alright.
Ledger, what to
who? Alright. So, Paul was going on the line for whatever, you know, it's passing them
during the Depression, there was a little corner store, and if you didn't have money, you'd just go around and buy something.
I
think it's interesting here how Philemon is apparently a wealthy man,
mm-hmm.
used to dealing with a lot of accounts and money and mm-hmm. transactions, and Paul is putting everything in those kind of terms with mm-hmm. Philemon.
Yes, there is.
And a lesson to us, too, yeah. when we talk to somebody, try to talk their language.
Yes. Before Paul called him, you had something to say that I didn't get back to you.
It was about the brother
from heaven.
Oh, yes, tell us about it. Yeah. I was looking at Colossians 4, 9, mm-hmm. and Paul says, with the message, a faithful and beloved brother, who's the
faithful, yes. Faithful, beloved brother. Randy has something. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, isn't sin referred to a lot, sometimes as a debt?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the wages of sin is debt. Wages were faced.
Yeah.
You owe something.
And an account in the sense of debt.
Yes.
On the negative side.
Negative side. That's true. So put that in my account, it's just a lot of faith. So the account. Then, now, did Paul have a lot of money?
No.
How could he pay for this? What was Paul's hope, do you think, as far as the account?
That he was a
cancel. A cancel? He wasn't rich man. How did Paul make his money?
Tent maker.
And occasionally, what else?
Church's
game. Church's game occasionally, that's right. So, he wasn't a wealthy man, like for him, but the. He just thought that Philemon, since he owed his eternal life to the ministry of Paul, he would just wipe it off the account, forgive Onesimus, whatever it was, but if not, put that on my account. That's very important. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ says to the Father, that every one of our sins has been paid for by Christ. And the Father comes to judge us, the Lord Jesus turns, put that on my account. And that all the sins that we commit, even after us being saved. The Christians sin?
Yes.
You better believe they can. Why do they sin?
They
got the old sin nature, the old flesh is still there, see? And the Holy Spirit is guiding strength until the flesh is not laid up. So whatever happens, Satan is the deceiver, and Satan points the finger, and what does he say? To the Father.
He accuses.
I'm the deceiver, I'm the accuser. And that's when the Lord Jesus, when he accuses, put that in my head. It's been paid, past, present, future sins, by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. If we're genuinely saved, we're born again. So that's verse 18. Man, let's read 19, 20, and 21 together. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee, how thou oughtest to be even thine own self besides. Dear brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my powers in the Lord. Having confidence in my obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt do also do more than I said. All right, verse 19, I thought of goodness. Did Paul always write his letters?
No.
No. Sometimes he had other people, amanuensis, whatever, or secretary to write them, but here with his own hand.
In the book of Galatians, he says, see how large I write.
Yes. Apparently, with his own
type
of eye disease. Yes. And so his own hand, he wrote it, so here I've written. So Paul identifies himself. Then he says, I will repay it. What are you referring back to? Verse 18, put down my account.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it say I've written in my own hand? How does that go along with that over there?
Proof that you did it.
That proof? What else? See, when you put something in writing, your own hand, it should be your bond. But sometimes it isn't. People can sign things, it's not their bond. They just chat up. But I think Paul was saying, I will repay it. I remember I wrote this wrong hand. It didn't stick there. Someone's not torturing me, that this wrong hand. And that's why I believe he repeats himself, that I will pay it. I will pay it. And then, albeit, what's albeit mean? Go a little bit, tell him.
It means, although it be that shortened.
Okay.
And that's found in Ezekiel 13:7.
Albeit? Okay.
Ezekiel chapter 13.
Okay. What's the meaning again?
It means, although it be shortened.
Although, I do not say to thee also, thou wast unto me. What do you think the pulling of the Lord to Paul? What was his debt to Paul?
Salvation.
Letter of Christ, told about the Lord and salvation. So, Paul was using that as an illustration to show Philemon how much it is. I don't say to thee, but thou wast unto me, even thine own self besides. Thine own self. Which means what? Thine own self. What part of Paul or Philemon did he owe to Paul? What part of himself? His spirit, his life, his eternal soul, the fact that he trusted Christ. So it's the spiritual part of him he owed to Paul, and his own self besides. So, and then in verse number 20, what does he call Philemon here? Well, the questions of VATBC.org, 86261-9018, give us a call, give us an email, say hello, have a question or comment. So in verse 20, hey brother, call him brother. What does that mean? Was it physically related?
No.
That's Ann?
It's personal, but brother in the Lord.
Okay, brother in the Lord. Some people use that word brother in the world but are not necessarily Christians.
Yeah.
How is that used in the world? What are some of the circumstances that use this word?
Secret society.
Secret society. Like the nations, various others.
But you know, also many churches that call each other brother and sister.
Yeah.
I remember in my childhood with the church, that was Holiness Church.
Mm-hmm.
And all the congregation called everybody Brother Joe, Brother John, my grandmother was known as Sister Brother, and Sister Ben, Sister Ben.
Generally, those are saved, all they're born again Christians.
Oh, yes, the church people.
But sometimes they're not, they're anything.
Yeah, also, in addition, there's a street vernacular, a brother, people on the street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They say, hey, brother.
Yeah, that's just a smart thing, Yvonne.
We used to call people brother, sister,
Marilyn
Emanuel Baptist, famous brothers or something. That's what happened to Emanuel Baptist. I didn't want to call anybody brother.
No, they really had a big riot.
Stop doing it.
But whatever secular group uses that, except the nations and the secret societies.
Well, different races of people follow
them. Sometimes. What else?
Any kind of club.
Clubs, certain clubs. What about in universities?
Fraternities.
Fraternities. That's a different kind of brotherhood. This is a spiritual brotherhood.
Right.
Now, on what grounds do Christian born-again Christians have any right to call themselves brothers and sisters? What are their grounds?
Ready? I'm sorry. The unity through Christ.
All right. Yeah.
I was just going to say God is our Father if we're born again.
Okay. So if God is our Father and got brothers and children of God, what do you call it? What's between each other?
Brothers and sisters
in Christ. Yeah. So that's the brotherhood, and it's a saved brotherhood. Now, are some people who are called allegedly brothers and sisters lost and bound for hell?
Could be.
We don't know. See, we don't know. I mean, we assume that they're saved, but this is the brotherhood of saved people. The Lord Jesus Christ, we call our elder brother, one that's over beyond us in perfection, and the Father, and the Son, and we're children of God, and that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. So your brother, and let me have joy of thee in the Lord. What do you think he's getting at you? The professional vow, the word vow means the inner feelings and emotions. Refresh my inner feelings and emotions. What's he getting at here about the joy of this point? Yeah,
he wants them to do what he's asking
them
to do, which is to receive
anathema. Okay. How would that bring joy to Paul?
If it pleases the Lord, I believe it would please Paul.
All right.
I believe that.
He was Paul interfering with these two men, Onesimus and Philemon? Do you think Paul was interfering?
No.
Well, some people may think he is, but when he was trying to be tactful, was it not?
He's interceding.
Interceding. It's like when I went to the church, Cornerstone Baptist Church there in New Lisbon, Wisconsin, this last week. I didn't want to interfere. On the other hand, I made some suggestions, and you know, because I was concerned. And as I told the people on Thursday night, perhaps, Pastor Connor is called. He's a deacon. Yeah, not a pastor, but he's pastoring the church. He's been there for 2 years, preaching the word of God. That's all the pastors ever have. But in the Sunday school hour, the psalm leader called him Mr. Dave Connor, Mr. Connor. He did it twice. And when I said, like, after the Sunday meal, I said to the pastor, I said, why don't they call you Mr.? You're not the pastor of this church yet. So I encouraged them to call him officially as a pastor, because he is a pastor, and he is the title of the pastor. Otherwise, we could be looking to some other strange school that has all different kinds of beliefs, trash the King James Bible, trash separation and Bible believing values, and in fact, they tried to apply. For instance, a man asked about this Bible college. I was there years ago, two or three times, when it was standing for the text receptive of the King James Bible. Now they trash that. They're Western work, wrong Bible, wrong version. But they wrote back, you know what they said? And the church, I'm glad they didn't say yes, because to have a pastor from Maranatha forget the whole thing that this church believes. They wipe it out. They wrote back and said, we have enough Baptist churches in your area. They're not going to come there. You know, there's four Baptist churches, but they're not good Baptist churches. Standing where they're supposed to stand, this church. So anyhow, I know, I'm saying about interfering, I'm just trying to make suggestions. But the pastor said, I think this is of the Lord. Two of the deacons, when I said, you made the shift, they said, we think that's of the Lord. They agree. And it's not a question of whether he comes here for a possible ordination, inspection. It's not a question of when. But it's a question of when. So there's certain things you feel in yourself, and you talk about. But anyway, maybe it wasn't a thing, but I mean, I really felt if my ministry there for five different messages on defending the King James Bible was to have fragrance and continuation, we couldn't have someone coming here that trashes the King James Bible. Five different messages to trash and to change and so on. And this young man, he's trained, so anyway, he's in his 50s, I think he's 52 years of age, the Quaker Pastor Dave Connor. But he said, let me have joy of the in the Lord. He hoped that Onesimus would return and Philemon would forgive him for all. Verse 21 then, having confidence in my obedience. What is he saying here? Having confidence in my obedience.
I'm able to do what Paul asked.
Do what Paul asked him, okay?
Well, confidence means the faith of belief in a person that they will do the right thing,
mm-hmm.
or that they will keep the word.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two verses in Proverbs on the read.
Mm-hmm.
One is the person that is a poor, you have. No problem. I can't go there.
Confidence of unfaithful man.
A person that you cannot put confidence in. Okay.
Unfaithful.
Yeah. Unfaithful. That's right. That's right. Okay. And that he describes that as 25:19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth. For the Lord shall be thy confidence,
yes,
and shall keep thy foot from being taken.
Yes, so confidence in the Lord. As it says, better for counsel in the Lord than counsel in princes. That's another extension of Scripture. Now, when Paul uses the word obedience, is that a bit strong? Is that a little bit strong?
Well, it seems to be, because he started out in the earlier in the chapter,
mm-hmm.
saying that in verse 9, for Lord's sake, I'd rather beseech thee, Jesus Christ, to enjoin thee,
mm-hmm.
which means to order him to do it. And he had the authority to do it. But in verse 9, he says, yet for Lord's sake, I'd rather beseech thee, not mm-hmm. order thee, beseech thee, beg thee, being such a one as Paul the age so forth. So, but now that in this verse, 21, he was back to obedience,
second conference,
and obedience.
So,
yeah,
I mentioned that in the discussion last week.
So,
he
felt like he was, not, he was, it was a little more than beseeching.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But in the military, I mentioned it's giving orders, you take orders, and you just follow orders. So, this is somewhat obedience. And yes,
like I said last week, in the army, where you're told to do something, and that's an order.
Yes, exactly. So there's no question, no doubt about that. So I think Paul, confidence and obedience, probably maybe obedience to the Lordy, because the Lord would have him to forgive Onesimus. That's what the Lord would have, so obedience to the Lord. Maybe that's the reference. And listen, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say, what does that mean? Thou wilt do more, Jeff Tammy.
So he's confident that he's going to not only do what he asked him to, but he's going to show him love and he can receive from that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can only read into exactly what he's saying, but more than what he's asking, just to receive him back, but to receive him as a father and to receive mm-hmm. him and to encourage him and to teach him.
So Paul was confident in Philemon that he would do even more than he's even suggesting. And that's one of the questions of DXCBC at all, 856-261-9018. Give us a call, email, say hello, give us a question or comment. So that's a wonderful feeling that Paul had for Philemon. He must have known him well enough to be able to have confidence. Those people we know well enough, and maybe they write a letter of this kind. So if you don't know them at all, maybe a little dangerous like this, because you don't know what that person is going to think. So the son of Paul knew Philemon well enough that he could write this way, and he kind of knew his heart and knew his thoughts and knew what he would do, and had confidence in him. I wrote to thee, I'll do even more than I said, abundantly. Those are verses that uses those phrases. Much more abundantly
above all the
other things. Seeing abundantly above all the rest of it. Seeing abundantly above, right? All.
Ephesians 3:20 or 21.
3:20 or 21. So, I read that.
And how is it him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, of him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
So the Lord is able to exceed abundantly above everything we've ever asked. So he thought that the Philemon would do more than I say as well. So we now we read 22, 23, and 24. Let's read the whole all until the end. For 22. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Blessed with the Epaphras, my fellow servant, and that she is fellow prisoner, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, through your spirit. Amen. Does it mean prepare for me a lodging? Let's see what it is. How do I get out there?
Released from prison.
And how is it going to be released according to this verse? Did he feel? What's the method of release? Through the prayers of Philemon. Actually, given unto you. When a friend says he's going to come to your house, what is your attitude toward that friend? Especially if he's in prison. Well, even if he is in prison. What is your attitude? What should be your attitude?
What
is he? Okay. Welcome, all right.
Depends
how well you know the person. But some people go on your door and walk in and you don't even know them, you've never seen them like that. What is your reaction to that kind of question? No, it's wonderful. I'm sorry. But some people in the early days, in the Bible days, a lot of Christians, they weren't going to just knock on the door and it's understood that they're hospitable, they haven't met. Have
fun? Well, we had this one prisoner that she befriended, went back and forth and only got out of prison. We came here with two friends and he wanted some money. They said, $100. We're going to write him a check that they didn't want to check. Whatever, the real money that you gave him, a real copy. And he said he would pay it back on us, but they only go down south. So he never got down south, he got arrested someplace, he didn't want to get him, but I don't understand any of it. I don't understand what he wrote, but anyhow. So he was right back in prison. But we were out $200.
$200 or $100?
I forgot
that.
I didn't forget it.
I know you have to know.
I mean, but you did something to part with it, you got to argue with him, and that was the problem.
That was really gullible. A lot of people have done the same thing, knock at the door. You know, you're wondering about them, and I remember one man wanted us to get a special kind of medicine in an order to place another home.
The same one.
Had to go to a special store because he said they had new medicine, so they gave him $10 for medicine, it cost $5. Came back and said, well,
I think it was $25 or $30.
Okay,
so $30. Then he eventually took him over to Gennari. That's where he said he had a prescription.
That's right, exactly.
And he didn't have it at all. And then he said, well, I couldn't get changed to $30. He said he used to be the coach at that time for
$30. So there's a lot of people left the lines that they get.
Yeah,
now, one fellow wanted a banquet for his children, money for a banquet for his children.
I said,
you're
down
out of bankers. That's right. He came back about 2 or 3 years later. He wants some more type of money. I liked it.
He worked for me for a while, which I thought paid him to come on Monday.
Uh-huh.
He worked for me. He came back the other day, but there was no work.
Yeah. But
I don't understand. They always need money for care, but to get home, and I said, well, how did you ever get here? No, he has an answer for everything.
So a lot of different people, all those people have different things, but this was Paul, a friend of Philemon's, they knew Philemon, Philemon knew him, and he says, he prepared for me also lodging. Now, let me ask you this, do you think if Philemon was ready to receive Paul, wanted to receive Paul, if he should be released by his prayers, do you think Philemon would want to cross Paul?
Say
again? If he was going to receive Paul, do you think he wanted to cross him? To speak with him?
No.
Argue against him?
No.
But see, That's interesting. When you write down the premises, he can say, I mean, you know, by the rest of us, please forgive him and put that on my account. This is a complete joy. I'm going to come to your house now, Flamin. We're still friends. But if they're telling about the rest of us, what kind of friendship is that? It's going to be a gruesome time, am I right? So this is also a very wise saying in Paul's part. I'm going to come for your prayers, give them to you. So prepare and watch it. Number 23, please salute me.
Greet.
Greet, okay. Epaphras, what's Epaphras called?
Fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus.
What is the significance of the word in Christ Jesus? Fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus.
Someone who's saved.
Saved, that's right. What else? That's true.
Maybe they were in prison for the same thing.
The same thing because he was
a Christian.
Because they were Christians, they're preaching the word, and they were locked up because they were Christians. And some of us may be locked up for the same reason, okay?
Yeah. Evidently, if they were, Epaphras was released before Paul, mm-hmm. because he's telling their salute in Ephesus, which means that Epaphras was at Colossae with Philemon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think compare this last part of the Philemon with the last part of Colossians, and there's a lot of significant information, including Colossians 4:12,
mm-hmm.
Epaphras, who is one of you,
mm-hmm.
servant of Christ, so that you always. So Epaphras was also
in Colossae.
Colossae,
that's right. Mm-hmm. All right. So Epaphras, salute and greet the fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Then in verse 24, Marcus. Who is Marcus?
Mark. John Mark.
John Mark. What do you know about John Mark? On the trail up,
on the first missionary journey, dear John Mark, apparently was a young man at the time, but on the second left, then it was at Emporia. I know it is on the map, but mm-hmm. just as they were entering the underbelly of Asia mm-hmm. to Antioch, the Pisidian,
mm-hmm.
they just left the island of Cyprus. And John Mark left them and went back to Palestine. And they had a great dispute over that. And when came the next missionary journey came up, Paul wanted to, Barnabas. Barnabas was going to go with Paul, and he wanted to take John Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul had an argument with him. He said, no, we can't take John Mark. He left us the first time, and we can't depend on him. So Barnabas, he was John Mark's uncle. So he took them and they went their way, and Paul chose Silas instead of Barnabas, and he and Silas went on the journey together.
So when Mark left them, did he ever get reinstated with Paul?
Well, he must have, because he was reinstated with Paul in prison.
Now, he wrote a whole gospel, and so he made some mistakes, but he left and changed it. So they salute the Epaphras, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, all these people, my fellow laborers. Aristarchus is in Scripture. Demas, what was true of Demas after a while in 2 Timothy?
It was a warning against Demas.
A warning against him, yeah.
Sadly, he said, Demas had left me. Forsook me, rather.
That's right.
Having loved this person.
Having loved the person of the world. So, but in that verse, the salute, these people saluted Philemon, and then Demas, Lucas, and fellow laborers. Lucas, very well, Lucas.
About Aristarchus.
Yes.
He was with Paul. Remember, he, Aristarchus, and Gaius at 30
mm-hmm.
Were together, and they were grabbed by this mob in Ephesus over the silversmiths, Diana of the Ephesians,
mm-hmm.
and they had this big riot, and they seized Aristarchus and Gaius in that riot, and Paul's followers prohibited or encouraged Paul not to get into it.
So all these salutes that were there in that area, and Demas, my fellow laborer, what does it mean to be a fellow laborer? I labored together, worked together, they were workers for whom?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ, that's the fellow laborers in the Lord. And the final complimentary close in verse 25. So Luke, I mentioned the gospel, and he was the first of all his physician, wasn't he? And he was commendable in all his different areas. Did we win anything against Luke and anything? Perfect. I think he was commendable in all things. Yes. Dick, and then fine.
Yeah, back to Colossians.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, Philemon's home was in Colossae.
Uh-huh.
And it mentions everyone that Paul mentions in the end of Philemon. He mentioned that Onesimus, the faithful and beloved brother. And then verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluted you. This is the Colossians.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom he recently, Jesus called justice for the circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
And also was Epaphras, who is one of you. And Luke, John 14, Luke, the beloved physician,
mm-hmm.
and Demas, Greek.
So they're
all those people that are named in Philemon,
mm-hmm.
named in Colossians.
Mm-hmm. They're all in Colossians. Yes, Don has something on Zen.
You said his name at one time.
Oh, thanks, go ahead.
In 2 Timothy 4:11, this comments about some other people we just discussed in the Philemon. When Luke is with me, take Mark and bring him with me. With thee, for he's profitable unto me for ministry.
Yes, so Mark has recovered from being a little behind the monastery and was profitable to Paul in his way. And so that's good. So then, we have on.
I was wondering if any of the names of female engines. Some of the Romans in different places, some of the women. And I don't know if there's a language.
I think these are all men, because of what we read about them. Service for the Lord. And the other comment there, then the final compliment that goes to grace to Lord Jesus Christ to live in your spirit. Amen. You define grace as well?
In something
that God deserves. In something that God deserves. And God's Christ riches, that Christ has spent, another way of putting the grace. But getting something just without deserving it, or undeserved favor, with all these different definitions of grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In what way is the Lord Jesus Christ gracious?
He died on the cross for our sins.
And the cross for our sins, that's certainly as gracious as enough, is it?
Paul's whole theme is the preaching of the cross.
Preaching
and
of
every epistle of Paul, I believe I'm right in this, in the opening verses, grace is mentioned, and in every closing verse, grace is mentioned.
Yes, that was a standard greeting including his letters, many places. Any other comments on Philemon before we move on into the book of Hebrews? All right, Philemon is a short book, just took three different Sunday afternoons, took the first six verses, and then took up to 15, and we finished with the next one.
You don't really know if he was accepted. And I always wonder, people can become Christians, but personally, I always can never get another. Just because they're Christians doesn't mean they're going to get along real well. I always wonder how that he got along.
How do you think he got along?
I don't know.
What's your speculation?
I don't know.
So the rest of you think, how do you think?
He had problems, certainly.
You think he had problems? How rough do you think?
I think he resolved it.
Resolved the situation? Anybody else?
I think it's interesting that Philemon had a church in his house.
Yes.
And there was another house church right now. Laodicea on the map is right almost right on top of Colossae.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were that close together. And that's also a house church in the house of Memphis in mm-hmm. Laodicea.
Okay. Laodicea is here. And Colossae is here.
Mm-hmm.
Very close, very close. Any other comments on Philemon before we go over to Peter? All right, probably they patched it up. I believe it only worked out well. It didn't. Now the book of Hebrews. To start with, first of all, what do some Bible teachers say was the author of Hebrews?
Six. Well, it's been a great debate, and over the theologians, but the very earliest whether it's both that scripture and other scripture ascribed the book of Hebrews to Paul, and the King James translators were holding very, very high respect.
Mm-hmm.
The 1611 version Mm-hmm. This book was titled The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews.
Yes. But there's some argumentation today in this Bible teaching today with the liberals and not even the liberals, even the new evangelicals, even some fundamentalists. We were taught at college and at the seminary, and they referred to this as the author of Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews, the writer. Didn't say Paul. And so people today have a question. I believe it was Paul. There's certain characteristics of Paul's language. A lot of them say this language is not Pauline, but a lot of it is Pauline. See? A lot of references in the back of it, even as a from the prisoner and Rome, there's other things. Yes, Dick?
I think the strongest reference is found in 2 Peter 3:15-16. Okay, on account of the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul. Now this is Peter writing in his letter, 2 Peter. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking of them in these things in which are some things hard to be understood, and so forth. But the fact is that he says that Paul wrote an epistle to the Hebrews. Now, they were the same people. If you go back to 1 Peter, Peter starts off in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and so forth. And in other words, Peter here is writing to these same people that Paul would be had been writing to, and the Hebrews are the scattered Jewish believers of that day. That Peter is writing to them and saying this form of this letter that Paul has written. Now, there's no evidence of that any other letter that was ever written to these scattered Jewish believers other than Hebrews.
So this is these are different evidences of Pauline authorship of Hebrews. I believe it's Pauline. I think it's very clear, but I don't know why they dispute it. If you go to the modernist liberals, they dispute every author of every book that's been written in the New Testament. For instance, the Reader's Digest Bible. And the man that was the editor of that, I believe, was right up in Northern in Princeton. What's his name? The Greek teacher. Oh, not me, but the other one up there, but one of the professors up there. Remember? What's his name?
Metzger.
Yeah, Bruce Metzger. He was the editor, I believe, of the Reader's Digest Bible. And the Edenware says, Paul is the author of the Galatians, Peter, but all these words says, I saw. He throws that out too. He can't believe him. He can't believe him. No.
In the debate that we watched with Dr. Mormon and James Price early last year, Dr. Price had mentioned that he debated with Metzger because Metzger doubted that we had the scripture at all because they're different from one book to another. He doesn't believe any of it.
Okay.
So there should be no surprise that Metzger didn't want to doubt anything.
So now in the book of Hebrews, what was the purpose for the book?
Well, the purpose was to write to these scattered Jewish believers, and they were a little bit uncertain. They said they were Christians, they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were still, they couldn't quite give up the old Judaism. And so the whole book of Hebrews is saying that Judaism was good, but the grace of God is better.
You probably shouldn't ask that question because everything got into that, but basically the book of Hebrews pictures the Old Testament and Christ as the answer to all the Old Testament things, everything. Moses and the tabernacle, he's the answer, and all these texts and figures are mentioned in
that. That's the other part of it, that Paul is trying to, or is showing these scattered Hebrews who Christ really was.
Yes. That
is.
Let's read then the verses 1, 2, and 3, and then we will probably close pretty soon. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake to the time past unto the fathers of the prophet, hath in his last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his servants, upholding all things by the word of his power, whom he had by himself proved that same, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. All right, so what does sundry times mean? Various times. And spake in times past under the fathers by the prophets. Who were the fathers and who were the prophets?
The Old Testament prophets.
Old Testament prophets. Who were the fathers?
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Questions of BFT, if you see that all. Got one down?
We just wanted to say hello to everyone at BFT. Thank you for today's Bible study. From Joe and Norma Fox here in California.
That's great. The Joe and Norma way up in California, way out there, many hundreds of thousands of miles with them. All right, so diverse manners, different times, different Sunday times. Now, what do you say diverse manners with?
Very
different kind of manners, different ways. The time passed, the father was